Shout, Hosanna, Jesus, he saved. Shout. breaks the power of sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger, the King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder, who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder, the King of glory, the King above all kings.
Sing it out.
This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You would lay down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Glad for what he's done for you. Sing this next verse with us.
Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory. Who rules the nations with truth and justice? Shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings.
Yes.
This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You would lay down your life.
I pray we'll find your light.
Pray we'll find your light.
Hold it in our hearts.
Hold it in our hearts.
stars go out each night.
The stars go out each night.
Remind us who you are. Let this be our prayer.
Let this be our prayer.
When shadows fill our day. Lead us to a place.
Guide us with your grace.
Give us faith so we'll be saved. A world where pain and sorrow will be ended, and every heart that's broken will be and watch us from above. We hope each soul will find another soul to love. Let this be our prayer. Just like every child. Find a place, guide us with your grace, give us faith so we'll be saved. Needs to find a place, guide us with your grace.
For criminals, every Pharisee, you came for hypocrites, even one like me. You carried sin and shame, the guilt of every man, the weight of all. Nailed into your hands. Oh, your love bled for me. Oh, your blood in crimson streams. Oh, your death is hell's defeat. A cross meant to kill is my victory.
If you're thankful for what he did on the cross for you, let's worship him this morning. Let's sing this next verse.
Oh, your amazing grace, I've seen and tasted it. It's running through my veins. I can't escape its grip. In you my soul is safe. You covered everything. Oh, your love bled.
Good worship this morning. And the song, the prayer, is one of my all-time favorites. And man, they had tears flowing with me as they sang that this morning. It's amazing what God has done for us. Amen?
Amen.
It's incredible. I was doing my devotional readings this week. And I am so thankful for God's Word and how He connects with us through His Word. And as I was reading, I was reading a passage from 1 Peter, and the Lord just touched my heart in such a way as to say, this is where I want you to go Sunday morning. And so I'm going to read the passage to you and then share some things with you and lift up a few of the truths that I see in this passage. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will raise up in each of our understanding what He would have us to see and latch on to, because God is so personal that He deals with each and every one of us as He knows is best. And so we can look at the same subject material and one person walks away with this vantage point and someone else walks away with a different special something that the Lord brings to them. And so it's incredible to be a part of a fellowship wherein we have the opportunity to be connecting with the living God, not a historical God. He is historical, but He's more than that. He is the living God who has come to touch our lives in a very powerful way. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 9. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. And I just point out to you, as he begins this passage, I'm in the Thanksgiving mode. And I shared some things with you last week and where my heart is with this passage. I praise the Lord that He has saved a wretch like me, that He reached into my life and brought light into the darkness. And so in that spirit, I thank the Lord for this inheritance, this eternal inheritance that He has kept for us, that nothing can take away, that is waiting for us to experience in fullness when we cross over to the other side. He says, this inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. In other words, when Jesus comes in the clouds, the glory of this salvation will be unfolded in all of its fullness to our understanding and to our experience. We know a little bit about this now. It is at work in our lives, but our humanity keeps us from the fullness of the expression of this salvation. And Peter says, I'm looking forward to the time when Jesus comes, and in that glorious moment, we will understand what it really means to be saved. And so in that spirit, he says, though you have not seen him, you love him.
And even though you do not see Him now, speaking of Christ, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. I realized this morning that there was a time in history, in the history of my life, that God brought me to an awareness of Jesus that was more than anyone could give me. It was God who was giving me that awareness. And in that a moment of awareness, I opened up my life and I prayed a prayer for Jesus to forgive me of my sins and to come into my life. And in that moment, I was saved. But I've come to realize all these years later, 49 years later, I realize that not only did He save me, but He is saving me. And so it is forever a current relationship. God is continuing to reach into my life and to bring His grace to me, to bring me to that place where faith may accomplish its work. And all of it is from His hand. It's nothing that I've been able to conjure up within myself. It's something that I've had the opportunity to receive. You've had the opportunity to receive. And so you, like me, might be able to point to a day and say, I remember that was the day that I first believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. But you also can say with me this morning, however long ago that's been. For some it's been decades, for others it's been days, and maybe for others it's been only hours. But the truth is, not only did He forgive us of our sins, but He is continuing to bring His saving power to work in our lives that we might be kept for that inheritance that is waiting for us on the other side. That is incredible, because I've done a world of stuff to mess it all up since August 1970. But God just keeps on saving me. He keeps drawing me to Himself. He keeps working out His plan in my experience. And so not only has He saved me and is saving me, but He will save me. Whenever that day comes when I cross over to the other side, His salvation will be revealed in its fullness. And if I go before the second coming of Christ, there's even more fireworks awaiting this sinner saved by grace when the end time drama plays out and all of us see in all of its glory exactly what God has planned for that moment. When the trumpet sounds and Jesus comes in the clouds and we behold Him, not only those who continue on this planet, but those who've gone on before, together we will behold Him in His glorious second coming. And the Scripture says when He comes the next time, He comes to save us in all the fullness of that salvation that His blood has provided for. Y'all, this Thanksgiving, I thank God I am saved. Yeah. I'm ready for whatever happens next. Now, all of y'all are asking me, I'm going to turn 65 this month. Brother Ron, when are you going to retire? Don't retire anytime soon. And some of you are saying, boy, I wish he would, you know. But anyway, you know, what are the plans? I don't know. I've told you that. But I do know this. When I turn 66, I am in that generation that Social Security, I will be full retirement age. Now, I'm going to give you a little Social Security lesson. What that means is I can draw my benefit and I don't have to give any of it back even if I am earning $1 million a year. But if I took Social Security right now, for every $2 I earn, I'd have to give $1 of Social Security back. So you do the math, you know. I'm going to wait until I can keep that benefit. What if I die tomorrow? Well, I'll never draw a Social Security check, but Becky will. Bless her heart. Unless we go together. In which case, I have this idea. Now, I may be just crazy as I can be, but I have this idea that when I'm walking on streets of gold, I don't care about a Social Security check. You know what I'm saying? But what's the likelihood? Nobody knows. I keep reminding us of that because we need to be reminded of that. Those of us who are living live in such a way that we think we have plenty of time to take care of whatever needs to be taken care of. But I'm telling you, now is the time to hug your loved ones. Yeah. Now is the time to walk with Jesus. Now is the time to experience the fullness of the salvation that He died to make our glorious inheritance. Now is the time. 40 years ago, this past May, boy, I'm glad y'all put these boxes here. It's keeping me on my toes. 40 years ago in this past May, I moved to Columbia, South Carolina. Brother Jackson was the pastor. He called me, and the church called me to be youth pastor and associate pastor. And there was another associate pastor there, Ray Elders, and so the three of us were the staff at that time. And very shortly after I arrived in Columbia, a young fella who either was graduating that year or had just graduated the year before made his way to me and said, "Hey, I'd like to go visiting with you from time to time if that's all right. The Lord's just kind of drawn me to that." And I said, "Yeah, absolutely." His name was Jeff Ross. And so at least a couple of times a week, Jeff would go on visitation with me. And we'd go to the hospitals. And the way Brother Jackson had it structured is my hospital days were Tuesday and Friday, as I remember. And then Brother Jackson had Monday and Wednesday. And then one of the weekend days, and Brother Elders had the others. And so we had a system. Brother Jackson was retired from the Army. He was a captain who had retired from the Army and had gone through the Battle of the Bulge. So he was a World War II veteran, and he worked with us associates like he was a World War II veteran. I mean, it was like we were in the Army now, you know? And so he told us, he gave us our marching orders, and we did what he told us to do. And Jeff, we spent a lot of time together making visits. And then Jeff ended up going off to school to Warner Southern, my alma mater, which is now Warner University. And he graduated from there and came back home. And we played on the church softball team together. He worked for Buck Brazel, who sanded floors. And on my day off, I worked with Buck Brazel. Because it gave me a little mad money that I could tuck away for, you know, going on fishing trips and what have you. And so Jeff and I worked together, and Jeff's been a part of our softball tournament here in Sumter through the years. And I got the call Friday that Jeff was killed in a car accident Thursday in a head-on collision, 58 years old. That could be me or that could be you. The glory of what God has done and is doing in our lives is that dramatic that He has saved us and is saving us and will save us is an incredible truth. As we live out our lives in this world of uncertainties. As a matter of fact, as Peter is sharing his faith in this passage, he says to those he's writing to, he says, right now you're going through trials and your faith is being tested, it's being refined, it's being proven for its genuineness. And he says, know this, with everything that you're going through, the result of these trials in face of the salvation that God is working out in your experience, in the face of all of that, you have this incredible spirit of praise in the face of the glory of what God is doing. Do you know that in the moment that Jeff was in that accident this week, that in the very next moment, he was involved in this amazing moment of reunion in the very presence of Jesus. And he knew when he stepped over to the other side that knowing Jesus was the most important thing that he ever gave himself to in this lifetime. Yeah. It is amazing how we get caught up in so many things that are not that essential to our lives. Now, let me just qualify. I'm not saying that those things should not be a part of our lives, but what I am saying is that they should not take precedent over our relationship with Christ. That needs to be the main event in all of our lives. And as I've thought about Jeff during these days since I received the news and talked with his mom and dad, I just started replaying all the things, you know, canoe trips and mountain trips that the men at that time in the church would get together and we'd have all these adventures together. And I think about how incredible those moments were. And as incredible as they were, I thought, what's it going to be when we all are reunited on the other side and we are known even as, and we know even as we're known? How incredible is that going to be? When we get over there and all of the questions we've had, all the theological questions, all the life questions that we've had, questions that we can find no definitive answer for, how incredible will it be to be in that moment and now there are no questions, only answers, because we are in the very presence of God. In the presence of the one who is the Lamb of God laid down on the cross for you and I. Became death for us that we might become righteous in the sight of our Heavenly Father. And so this Thanksgiving, I am so thankful for a new birth into a living hope. I'm thankful that God has transformed all of us in a spiritual way that goes beyond what we can even define for ourselves. And He is still working that out. And still calling us to be intentional about our relationship with Him. I'm thankful for an inheritance that will never perish, spoil, or fade. That God has laid up something for us that will be far beyond anything we've ever known. And it is not diminishing with time. It is becoming more glorious with time. And we will know the fullness of that one day. I'm thankful for a faith that is proven genuine even in the face of trials. That even when life is difficult, that God gives us a faith relationship with Him that carries us through these moments that are difficult. Thank you for prayers for my nephew. We found out this week he has been diagnosed with myeloma. And so he will be setting up for treatments and hopefully through Duke. But continue to pray for him. Now that the diagnosis has come, they know directions that they need to go in his treatment. But what an incredible thing for Michael, my nephew, and for our family to know that as he goes through this, he does not go through it alone, but he goes through this as a child of God, and that God will be with him every step of the way and has the answers to all of the questions that others could not possibly have the answer to. I am thankful for an inexpressible and glorious joy that comes to our lives through Christ. The kind of joy that would cause the preacher to sit back there while John and Jalen were singing that song, and as the witness of that song was coming forth, my soul was overflowed with inexpressible joy, and the only release it could find in that moment were the quiet tears that streamed down my face. Tears that were saying, Lord, thank you for bringing me to a place where your grace has been poured out and your faith has brought salvation to my experience. Peter says, when all is said and done, whether we're here when Christ returns or we have already moved on and will be a part of the drama from that side of things. He said the glory of all of this, the reason for this praise, is that the end result of your faith will be the salvation of your souls. In Corinthians it says that we live in these earthly tents, these bodies, for a little while, but there will come a time when we move out of this dwelling into a house built by God's own hands. Yesterday I was preaching at the funeral of Lauren Blackman. Lauren Blackman was the superintendent of this church being built. He worked for Sharp Construction. And Lauren was a quiet man who understood construction and understood the management of construction. And I always marveled at Lauren because, for one, he really did care about we. In that scenario, we are called the owners. He really cared about what the owners wanted to have happen as the building was moving from blueprints to reality. He really cared about what we wanted. But the other side of Lauren that just was amazing to me is how God had gifted him to be able to manage subcontractors. Now, if you've had anything to do with the building business, you understand that managing subcontractors, and I love subcontractors, but it's like herding cats. And if you've been in the building business, you know it's so. If you're an owner who's had projects done, you know it's so. Because they have such a demand on their lives in the business that they're in, that they're having to move from job to job to job to job. They're not just on one job, they're on many jobs at any given time. And I watched as Lauren managed that process, and as he had incredible patience with the subs and how he communicated with them the things that needed to happen that maybe weren't happening, or to seek an understanding of why things were on this timetable and why they were going the direction they were going. He was a blessing to our lives when we were moving through this project. But I thought about Lauren, and I thought, a man whose life was invested in commercial construction, who knew what he was looking at when he looked at a set of blueprints. He could see what was going to be just by looking at those blueprints. And I thought, when he stepped onto those streets of gold and he was ushered to his mansion, how incredible would it be to be there in that moment and see a man who had been so involved with major projects, how incredible it would have been to be there and see the look on his face when he saw what God had built for him. And it says, built by the very hands of God. Can you imagine what that moment was like? For a builder to be appreciating what was built for him, bringing the background that he brought with him, and I know he marveled as he saw what God had constructed. And this Thanksgiving, I am thankful that my Jesus has said to me, Ron, don't let your heart be troubled. Trust me. I'm going to prepare a place for you. It's just for you. And when the time comes for you to inhabit that place, I'll come and take you home to the other side. I am so thankful that when my time comes, that in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, fear will be replaced with wonder. Faith will become sight. and the unknown will become glorious. I am glad that there's more to live for than a Social Security check. I am glad for the eternity that God has prepared for all of us just because He loves us. He saved me. He's saving me. But oh, one day He will save me. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and He will dwell with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. This Thanksgiving, I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my church family. I'm thankful for my friends. Most of all, I am so thankful that God saved me and helped me to see in your faces what I would never have been able to see if it were not for His amazing grace. I would have walked by not knowing how glorious what He has done in you is for my life. I'm so glad I'm saved. Anybody? You glad? You glad you're saved? You say, "I don't know if I'm saved." Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I mean, that's how real it is. There's a lot to know what goes behind that. It takes a lifetime to learn it. But if the Holy Spirit is moving in your life, that this is your time to receive the grace that has been poured out at the cross, then I want you in this moment, with eyes wide open, you don't have to bow your heads, you don't have to lift a hand, right now with eyes wide open, if you know the Spirit is drawing you to Jesus, your Savior, I want you just to say to God in the quietness of your spirit, "Lord, I want all You have for me. Please save me through Christ Your Son." I'm thankful as we go to our Thanksgiving tables this year with our families that we are people who not only can thank Him for the tangible things, but we are the people who can say, "Lord, thank You for the glory You have prepared for me in the great beyond. There is a land that is fairer than day. And by faith we can see it afar." Lord, thank You for that reality. Now, would you bow your heads? For those of you who know the Lord, would you just from your heart say to Him, "Thank You, Jesus, for saving me. And if the Spirit is drawing you to faith this morning, would you in this moment, in the quietness of your heart, just whisper this prayer, "Dear Lord, I accept what Jesus has done for me. Please come now and save me by your grace. I trust you." Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for this season. Thank you for Jeff Ross and the friend he has been to me and so many through the years. Thank you that because of Jesus and because of the faith that you delivered to Jeff's spirit, thank you that today Jeff is safely home in that place that you prepared for him. Thank you that Lauren is safely home in that place you prepared for him. And thank you for what these two men have meant to my life and to the lives of others. Help us to understand, Lord, that what we are living for is more than a house payment, more than a bathroom remodel. Help us to realize, Lord, that what we are living for is glorious and eternal, and a gift from your hand through your Son, Jesus. In whose name we pray. Amen.
Amazing love, how can it be?
It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you.
Sing, you are my king.
You are my king. You are my king. Jesus, you.
Have several